on
Bermuda.
But what she's doing is she's going to have a display in the schoolhouse itself about the schoolhouse when it was a schoolhouse instead of the historical society. And so she's asking people to interview people who graduated from that building. Mm-hmm. And she has, you can see, she's got this list of questions. So I'll just ask you the questions.
No problem.
And if you feel like elaborating or embroidering or what have you, just go on. Because they're pretty prosaic, these questions. She wants to know about when you attended. She told me
already. Okay, 65 years ago, I went when I was 5 years old.
Uh-huh. To, as a first grader?
As a first grader. There was no sub-primary or whatever they call it then. I went to the, that's correct, 5 years, yeah.
And it was, and you were, was it a primary and grammar or?
First 4 grades, 1, 2, 3, and 4 in one room. Then you graduated to the next room with 5, 6, 7, and 8 with a different teacher.
Right, okay. And where did you live? How far away?
I lived at the townhouse. I lived about a quarter of a mile.
In the big colonial on the corner?
No, that was my grandfather's home. Hmm. The one next to it, which was dismantled, where Fred Merrill lives now, which is a new home.
Don't know that one.
So-called dump road.
Oh, out.
Beechwood Avenue. Second house on the.
Oh.
The one Captain's Walk, and then Captain's where my home was.
In a, so there's a new house.
Yes.
And what did your parents do for a living?
My father ran a demonstration farm for a feed company, D.H. Grand and Milling Company. He wrote books and he was their cartoonist. He was the sales manager of the company for 45 years.
And was the farm was here in town?
Or yes, that was it.
That
where
was
Fred
it?
Merrill lives at the
wow.
present time.
Wow, neat.
He ran it as a demonstration farm.
And was it mostly grains or was it animals?
Chickens?
Different, chickens primarily, but lamb, fuel, turkeys. If they developed a new feed, it was his job to test it, and then he'd write the literature that went with the grain that they were promoting. That's essentially what it was.
Wow. So he was very knowledgeable guy. And so
yeah, he worked a lot at the University of New Hampshire, and very talented, if I do say so. He wrote a syndicated column that went all over the country, Rocking Chair Charlie, and I didn't know till after he passed away that Rocking Chair Charlie was E.G. Meserve.
No. That's great.
There's still some of the coops left at Fred Merrill's, aren't there?
Yeah.
Some of the chicken coops are still
He devised a lot of programs for the business. That's really what he did, and he was like a test pilot.
So he was probably pretty close to the...
And he was... in school business a lot too. He was superintendent of schools here at one time, just prior to probably 1900 maybe. He graduated from Brown University.
No kidding.
He had a doctorate degree in languages.
Languages. How did he get into agriculture from languages?
I don't know.
Being in getting both for it maybe.
But he probably had a lot to do with the development of UNH's great agriculture.
He was one of the developers of capons, or the technique to how to feed them and care for them. And that was done through the University of Manchester.
So he's a scientist.
Not really, but he knew how to put words together. He could promote things.
So he's a salesman.
Essentially, I would
can't probably fit
a little bit of everything. He was called a poultry specialist too. He diagnosed and treated the poultry diseases.
Really?
If people were using D.H. Grand and Milling Company feed and they had a problem with their flock, they'd call him and he'd go in and try to diagnose it and stuff like that.
Wow. Was your mother at home?
Yes. Yeah. My mother died when I was 12 years old, so I had a stepmother.
Were you part of a big family?
No, three boys, one 16 years older and one 17 years older than I.
Wow. Were you disciplined at home? That's a good question.
Yes, I'd have to say yes. There were not many round corners with EDM. said 11 o'clock was curfew time, and you came at 11:15, you had trouble. And it didn't take me long. I tested him.
Yeah. And you concluded.
And lost. Oh, I concluded a much larger man than I. And I decided that it was nothing I could cope with.
Were you disciplined as a youngster, though, too? Even though you were the baby?
I was a pretty ratty kid. I was probably spoiled being the last one of the litter, I suppose. I think I was an obnoxious little brat.
And got away with it?
Best I could. I was I was somewhat of an actor, I think.
And that was appreciated, do you think?
Not by him. Nor did I fool him.
This is an interesting question, too. What was the nature of your responsibilities at home? What an interesting...
Very definite. I mean, chores. He believed in work. He had a very definite French philosophy about everybody had to contribute. Uh-huh. And I can still remember, I got 10 cents a week allowance for filling the wood box. And I had to come home, I could play ball or whatever I wanted to do, but I had X number of flocks of birds I had to feed and water. I had chores to do.
And this is at how old?
Oh, 8, 10 years old, whatever, sure.
And the chores got bigger as you got older?
Exactly.
And you participated in the...
I can remember when I was 5 feet tall, I could lift a 100-pound bag of grain because I had to. And
I couldn't do that, not 5 feet tall.
I did that.
Wow. So you actually worked on with the chickens and the...
Yeah, on summer vacation and stuff like that I did. Yeah.
You didn't work out, you worked out.
And now once in a while I worked out for somebody, but not a lot.
Did you do some haying?
I used to like to go haying. I would. I'd get farmed out to go haying with somebody. I'd go. 50 cents a day in my lunch.
What an enormous amount of work.
Pitch hay all day long.
Didn't feel...
And then if we did a good job, he'd take us to Biddeford for a 25-cent movie and jelly donuts on Friday.
All right.
The farmer. All the incentive we needed. And the guy was funny to work for.
Who was this?
Palm Plow. He's long gone. He had one arm.
Huh. How did he lose it? Huh?
With it. It just never developed. Uh-huh.
And must have been right around.
It was right across from the schoolhouse. There's old Clow living there. One of his daughters still lives there in the old homestead. Next telephone operator.
Okay, let's see. Who were you? How much time did you have to play?
Enough, really. My father liked sports, and he even developed a baseball diamond out in the field for us. And he liked sports and he liked fishing. And we had time. We didn't have time enough, really, I'll admit now. But if I had to do over again, I don't think I had enough playtime.
But
everybody, nobody had any playtime because the funds weren't, although I think in his particular case, poverty was not in our household. There's no sense to say it was because it wasn't. He lived very well in those times. In comparison to other things, because I think due to his job, he probably had a better than average income, I'm sure, during the Depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a job.
But he worked extremely hard at it, to the point of neglecting family and other things, too. Not only a sociable character, anyway.
Did he play baseball with you?
Oh, yeah, he played baseball. Yeah. He was a football player, right? Instinct. He was captain. He went to graduate from Brown University, and he graduated first from Kimball Union Academy, where he was a star football player for both schools.
Oh.
He was rough, very big, very powerful. Nobody fooled him.
So that's why you were such a good kid.
Fair.
Did you have any toys or particular games you enjoyed most?
Mm. Yes, steam engines. I had Whedon steam engines when I was a kid.
What are they?
Little miniature steam
engines
that you used with a alcohol lamp to fire the boiler, and I used to make gadgets and pulleys and stuff, and that was one of the big toys.
Did it work on a track?
No, stationary steam engine with pulleys. I'd run pulleys and make stuff to run, rectosets, stuff like that.
Oh, I was thinking of a train engine.
No. just a stationary engine.
Oh, you've got things like an engineer. You
make things with it. All I wanted to do was see wheels turn.
I see.
I never did know what I was doing. Oh, I had a mule. Oh, yeah, I had a Missouri mule from Penn. Just, yeah, 1,200-pound pet, I can remember it, and his name was Andrew J. McMullen, and he had a disposition that was absolutely frightful. Even the hired man wouldn't harness him. I could handle him, but nobody else, and he hated my father.
Would he like you?
No, not really, because I'd fight back.
Would you hit him?
I had ways.
Uh-oh, that was dirty.
No, he respected me.
I'll have to talk to a horse person about this. How about your friends? Did you have friends, local friends? Or
yeah, there was a group of guys around. I can remember school chums, you know, Walt Keneally, Carl Boston, the Browns family lived. Elmore, one of them just passed away. Both of them died in 6 weeks. That I used to chum around with. And fishing was quite important there, too. Trout fishing in the spring. All the kids would get together. Had to improvise about everything, because if you needed a bicycle, you'd go to the dump and scrounge parts or borrow it, because nobody had any money to buy stuff, much. Movies, you'd go, 15 cents in the afternoon, nickel ice cream cone, and penny candy, that's about all you had.
Sounds okay.
Fine.
Where did you fish?
What? Streams, mostly brooks, up back by the, on the Lester Wiles Road, there was a good trout stream, and really? We used to fish the one a lot. I fished the most at the, for the trolley museum, that one that crosses the road right there. I used to fish that from there to the Lumber Golf Club.
Think there's any?
Brookman's still there. They still fish, get some trout in there. Okay. They don't trout fish anymore. Can't stand the bugs.
Yeah. Did you do saltwater fishing though?
Yes, my dad liked, that was one thing he really did like. He loved to go deep sea fishing. Go out on these party boats. And he knew when Cape Harper's here, Frank Wakefield had a, we used to fish with him in the summer. Go out several times. I never was bothered with seasickness, and he never, you know, so he could go anywhere.
So you went with him?
Oh, yeah.
How about your camp?
He did a camp up at Brownfield, Maine. He used to up there right sometimes. He had a, they lost it in the 47 fire, big camp with a stone fireplace. I lost my 18, I had a canoe built in the Lower Village. I had an 18-foot Williams canoe that went up in the fire. And I was 50, 60 years old when I had it.
What is Brownfield? What, near water?
South of Freiburg, Maine.
Is it on the south?
Just off the Saco, yes. As a matter of fact, I think the overflow from it ultimately ends up in the Saco River. The Saco River goes down through Freiburg and down what, Kisa Falls.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now she wants to know about how long did you go to the front, to the townhouse school?
Eight. Well, matter of fact, I think 7 years, in all honesty, if my memory is correct, because I skipped a grade.
Because you were so
brilliant. I don't think I'd use that word, but I did. I think it's because I was so repulsive. They didn't want me to stay any longer.
Your primary school teacher just said, go away, go away?
Yeah. Incidentally, she's still alive.
Who was it?
Lorraine Wiles.
Sure. I spoke to her on the phone not long ago in regard to this project.
Funny, I was talking about her today.
Yeah. She's still.
And
good shape, too.
Is she?
Yeah, she, at least on the phone, she's...
I could tell a funny story about myself with Lorraine Wiles in school.
Go right ahead.
I devised the idea if I took rubber bands and I dipped spitballs, to use spitball, dip them in ink, you could make funny blue dots on the ceiling. But, and I was making a pattern, very engrossed in what I was doing when I felt a hand on my shoulder, not friendly. I looked up and I was very tiny then. And all through school, I was little. And it was Lorraine Wiles. She said, I'd like to see you out in the entryway, please. They didn't frown on it. She had a maple ruler, I can remember, 15 or 16-inch ruler. She says, hold your hands out. She did a fairly good number on me. Now, I thought it was painful and humiliating. I thought I could create some trouble by going home and telling my father, who who I had forgotten was, had been an ex-superintendent of schools and quite interested in education. I thought physical abuse, but anyway, I said, Miss Weil struck me today at school. He said, what happened? I told him, he said, she struck you for that? I said, yes. I was beginning to feel a little bit good about it. He said, step outside, boy.
Oh, no.
He said, let me show you something. He had hands about double these pretty good sized ones, and he put them where they didn't do the most good. Now he says, let me tell you something. He says, I want you to feel free any time to come home and complain about a teacher. He says, I'm always willing to listen. She could have cut my fingers off from there on out.
Come home without them, he'd say, where are your fingers, and you wouldn't say a word.
Oh, nice. I did a few things in school that I was punished for by both teachers.
Mm-hmm. Who was the other teacher?
Marion Mailing, Robert Mailing's wife. Their home was on West Street, next street beyond the grist mill. Yeah, Marion Mailing. So I had her for, I think it was in her class, in her room that I skipped. I think I skipped the seventh grade over one, not positive.
One of them. Can you, since you went to both levels, do you want to describe a typical day?
In school?
Yeah.
Typical day would be you'd hear her stand out on the porch and ring the bell, you'd troop in, and here's one, two, three, and four, like X number of rows of each, not many children, I'm sure. And then she would start with, maybe one day start with a lower grade, assign some work, or give us a lecture or whatever, and then she'd move on to the other one, and then there'd obviously be recess, and then I can't ever remember, we always carried lunches then. And then you'd start in the afternoon, and she might start, well, you'd have different subjects. And she was fanatic almost about learning to sound words, which even today, I think it's a good thing to learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't have to memorize, but if you could look at a word, you could sound it out sometimes. And she was a very good teacher, actually. I think anybody that would pay attention to
my... Is that Miss Mailing?
Both. They were both. But Mrs. Wyatt was really the one that could, I think, got the kids started on the right track. I think I would have got a lot more out of it if I'd been one of the better behaved ones.
Well, I'm kind of more intrigued with your misbehavior, to tell you the
truth. You would.
There aren't very many.
Well, other kids made me do it.
Other kids. How about homework? Was there homework?
I learned to, yes, it was assigned very early on. I can remember having to bring things home, or she always had projects, even outdoor things. I can remember simple things as whoever brought in the first lady's slipper of the year. You could pick one then, apparently, mm-hmm. or... And we had to identify flowers, we had to identify birds, and make books on native birds and native flowers on native plants. And God, I can remember doing that when I was...
What about May Day?
Oh yeah, I had to hang May baskets.
Where?
Favorite girl, friend.
The house?
Yeah.
Had to go to the house?
Knock on the, put the May basket down, knock on the door, and you get a big hug and a kiss if she could catch you. Of course, I was the first to fall.
What age was this?
Can you imagine boys running around with hanging a basket?
It was a
now,
basketball
if you knock on somebody's
flowers?
Door, they punch you in the mouth. What?
Yeah, it's basketball flowers.
Candy.
And you go to the...
Sometimes a little note.
What if you didn't have a girlfriend? Did you?
Up there, everybody had one.
You pick one
that you want to... That's serious business.
And how old was this? Was this the whole school, basically?
Oh, sure. 7, 6 years old on up.
Right through
grammar school. A lot of them hang May baskets.
I like that.
I do too.
There was a custom more than anything else.
Did you
stop doing
that? May baskets?
You'd make your own May basket. You'd usually have to get a girl to decorate it with tissue paper and all that stuff. And then
somebody that wasn't going to receive it.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never knew who was going to get one. Some would get bottom of the baskets.
Oh, and then they'd all...
Sometimes would end up in 20 people at the same door.
Really? Oh.
And the biggest one guy usually got the girl.
I don't remember May Day as being much.
I don't remember that as that custom.
You're not 70 years old
like,
either.
It's almost like Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that was a big time too. That was big. Valentine boxes. Brought your favorite Valentine.
Now that I remember.
Sure.
That happened. Did boys get taught different subjects than girls?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The last year, I think the eighth grade, they would transport us down to where the town office is now for the school, and they had what they call it then, manual training. I guess now it's what, industrial arts? Yeah, we get a half a day a week of Mr. Brennan was a teacher.
And at the same time, the girls were learning to sew or cook.
Home ec.
Yeah, they did. I think they did have some home ec things.
Did you furnish your own books and supplies, or were they furnished for you?
No, I think the school furnished everything then.
How about moral and religious lessons? Were you taught any moral and religious lessons?
I can remember that they had the day started with a prayer, and that's it.
Yeah.
As far as I personally was concerned.
That was enough. You needed to get on the right track, right?
That was enough for me.
Then she says, what about bathrooms and the water supply and heat and all that kind of physical stuff?
Oh,
well,
yes.
Good stories.
This is good. We had a double outhouse.
Huh?
It was girls and boys, uh-huh. All right? And it was heated with a pot-bellied stove in each room, and the Lloyd Plow was the janitor. And it's his job. He'd be over in the morning and get those stoves going and try to get it up to temperature. And I've gone in there in the morning. We used to have like tadpoles or something in a bowl or a goldfish. And I've seen it skimmed over when school would start with the ice and the thing. I can remember one little trick that I did once. We used to go to the cemetery, and they used to weld the tops of the stones to the base with sulfur there for some reason. We did chunks of sulfur off, crumbling up on the way in from recess. You sprinkle it over the top of a hot stove. All of a sudden, the sulfur fumes would be so bad they'd have to vacate the schoolhouse.
Smell like rotten eggs?
Terrible.
Yeah.
That was a very common thing, and I'm the one that put... I wondered what a bottle of ink would do in the fishbowl. I dumped a bottle of ink in the fishbowl and you couldn't see the fish. And I got caught at it by Mrs. Malin.
Now, let me see your hands.
And I had to write, I think, 2,000 times that I must not put ink in the fishbowl. I had to stay after school, right?
And that learned you up good, I imagine.
I remember.
Yeah. but you must have been the only person to make these experiments.
I wasn't the only one. No. There were different ones. I got to say, in all honesty, I probably was a ringleader.
You could admit that now.
Yes.
I think you're fairly safe.
Then, but I was trying to be Mr. Nice Guy then, and sometimes I'd go off track.
Just get a little too enthusiastic.
Who were some of the kids in the crowd?
Walter Keneally was one. He is now an ordained minister. He was fully as bad as I ever was,
mm-hmm.
So there is always hope. That was the heating and the facilities. I can't recall any reason in the world for having run. I can't remember running water in that building, to tell you the truth. I don't think so.
Maybe there wasn't
any. Not then.
Did you eat lunch in the building?
Hmm?
I mean, you brought your lunch and ate
yes.
in the building?
Yes, yeah.
So there wasn't any cooking
facilities? No, nothing. You had said that everything was done right at your desk.
And did you guys help, did the students help maintain the building?
Yes, quite a bit. I mean, we all, one week it might be mine to take care of blackboards or pick up or make sure things were neat and tidy when you left. Everything had to be picked up when you... There was none of this leaving pencils on your desk or anything.
Using inkwell and a...
Yep, inkwell and the old-fashioned pens. They had a little groove in the top of the Hussein desk. Mm-hmm. That's what we had.
Just like this?
Exactly. Exactly. That would be one of the... That would be the beginner's desk.
Yeah,
right,
this is the inkwell right here.
Sure, exactly. Yes, hit the little tray underneath.
Yeah, well, my mother picked those up somewhere.
Fun. That's good.
Was the discipline different for boys than for girls?
My memory serves me right. It seems to me the boys were into more mischievous things, possibly, than girls.
How would it discipline?
I think equally. I don't
think
they
get slaps
any
on the hand.
Oh, there was no problem with that.
Could you remember something that a girl did for?
No, I really can't.
Kind of
I've thought about it some, and I can't remember. I think they were more apt to be simply kept after school and to write out things. I think that they were more prone to putting the ruler on the boys. I don't think I ever saw a girl get. Oh, I've seen them grab, but I've never seen one taken out in the hall.
You think that might have been that their misdeeds were not quite as...
They wouldn't be as flamboyant, maybe, as some of the things. We did some rather unique things. That townhouse school had somewhat of a rep.
It did? Oh, tell us.
They turned out some fairly good students. I didn't happen to be one, but they were not wild, not bad, but they were doing things a lot of
creative.
Times. Well, for instance, I'll tell you when I did. I can remember when the car barn was across the street, and out back there were a couple of derelict trolleys. Well, I devised the idea that the trolley pole was quite long and had two heavy springs. So I said if you doubled up the springs, you'd increase the tension. So I decided we could make a gigantic slingshot with a trolley pole. So we took a bucket and we filled it with small rocks, and we had four things. It took about six or seven kids to pull that down with a small rope. At the critical time, I cut the rope, and it was great. It went right up over the building, but that little bucket of rocks landed on the schoolhouse steps and took all the glass out of the front of it between the two doors. And I had to write 3,000 times that you must not throw rocks at the schoolhouse. Now, I did that myself, I have to admit. I didn't. I engineered the thing, and I took the rap for it. I wasn't all alone.
Did other people get to write stuff, too?
Oh, yes. They all wrote, but I think I wrote the most.
Absolutely.
And so, I had to go home and tell my dad that I had wiped out every pane of glass in there. Not the lower size, except one. I can remember I saved one, which I was very proud of. And my father didn't say too much. He thought that discipline was all right, except that out of my allowance, I had to buy all the glass and stuff. He paid for it then, but I was held back on.
Did you? How long did that take?
Quite a while. It was serious.
No movies.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No. I suffered.
Did you have to work extra?
Wrecked half of summer. Sure, I did.
Wrecked half of summer. I take it this was a springtime prank.
I like movies. We used to, yes. Where Smile Shop is now, Lyric Theater. And then every Saturday afternoon, we'd go to ride our bicycles to Biddeford. Back way to Biddeford. And they had cereals on them, if you remember, or something wild.
The Central?
Super. The City Theater.
City.
We used to go over there and get a 15-cent lunch, a 15-cent movie. And
what
my father would sprint. What
are we talking about? What the years ago? Is this during the
crowd? Okay, I probably would have been this 55 years ago, 50 years ago.
So that would be 1927?
I was 65 when I started school.
1937, just after the...
65. Years ago. I started when I was 25, that's right. I graduated from high school when I was 16. I skipped another year in high school. I was so young that I went to high school 5 years because I was too young to go anywhere else.
Did you do two senior years, Ken?
I graduated, and then I went back another year because I couldn't go anywhere else.
And when I went, Lord knows they didn't want you at home, huh?
No, God, no. No, they didn't. Because when I went somewhere else, I didn't do too well first year of college. Matter of fact, I got thrown out. And I wanted to go into the military, which I did. But I found out that if I fouled up at school, that I had no home to come home to. Mm-hmm. And that hell forever. That was the end. That was my... I debarked from the old homestead. And I thought he'd give him on that. How little did I know.
Really? Tough cookie, huh?
Oh. Yeah. Well, Carol, you've just been through the same thing with our young father. And you did hold the line. I have to admit.
It's called tough love.
It's like training a dog. If you back off, you're licked.
It's called tough love.
It is tough love.
But she thought it was tough. I don't know if she thought it was love.
Well, I heard something on
the
radio today.
You're being recorded, aren't you?
No, it's a word of love.
That's right. God, I didn't know you loved me so much.
Now listen, back to the subject and we'll be done, and then, then we'll turn this sucker off.
Oh, I hope so.
Any special programs at school? Plays, parties, school?
Yes. I like plays. I was in plays quite a bit, and they did. And you're talking about at the townhouse school. Mm-hmm. They had little things going on like that, and at the so-called Olympian Club, you know, they had things going on there which they'd transport us down to. I think it was really a well-rounded experience. At least I thought so at that time, and I think it still holds today.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Yeah, high school, say they'll go plays.
Sure.
Yeah.
How about the buildings used? Was it used for other things, political meetings and stuff like that?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think it was ever used for anything.
What were your teacher's expectations of your learning?
Good question.
Okay, they expected the ultimate. Actually, I think they were. I can remember both. The teachers that I experienced were very forceful, and I think that maybe I didn't do as well with it as I should, but I think the average student that they turned out at the 8th grade was probably at that time, because I even heard my father tell about it, he called it grade A, because they were disciplinarians, and I think they expected a lot.
I read somewhere that she's collecting information from all bunches of people, and one of the comments was that the kids, somebody said that the kids in town were better achievers, and somebody, I forgot, maybe it was one of the teachers here at Townhouse, did a survey and checked out to see who went on to high school, and just as many or more Townhouse kids went to high school.
So you're talking with a relatively small group of people all the way through them. I can't even remember how many would be in a given grade, but I know when I graduated from high school, it was 13.
13 in his high school class.
13?
13.
Wow.
And I am one of the three. I think all of the males in that class, with the exception of four, were lost in World War II.
Really? Wow.
I was one of the survivors.
Yeah.
How big were your was the grade school class then? That was bigger, wasn't it?
Then, as you know, a lot of kids I guess didn't go to high school.
High school, yeah.
I have no idea in the world how many graduated, say, from the 8th grade. I wouldn't say more than 8 or 9. Mm. That would be the most, I'm sure. Mm. Maybe 10. I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you remember your textbooks?
Vaguely. I mean, it was very basic, like reading, writing, and arithmetic. We had a couple reading books, and we had a music book, and we had an arithmetic book. as they progressed, they became either a little more difficult or more advanced. It seems to me that every year was about the same, only a X number of books, and they had workbooks. One thing they did, too, that they don't seem to stress as much now is, and I know from the fourth grade on, penmanship, had to practice writing a lot.
And you got extra practice.
And I did. I got a lot of. I did. I wrote more than most. Several thousand.
And you have times, you have right? One of these lovely hands.
No, not as good as it should be.
Well, that's about all she has. But anything you could think of as a favorite reminiscence.
Well, I enjoyed school. I'll admit. I probably should have got a lot more out of it than I did. But well, it's high school. I was very small. I couldn't even play the sports in high school because I was only 5 foot tall or something. I think I weighed 130 pounds when I graduated from high school. And they had a couple rather good-sized girls, and one of them in particular used to pick me up and rock me a lot. And then junior prom they have, that was me. They had a bib. I remember I had to wear a bib, and she had to pick me up, walk up the steps with me, and rock me on the stage.
Lordy, lordy. A big lady.
Medina, down at Kusrock, saw the Medina girl. Muriel Medina, I can remember. I saw her a few years afterwards, and I asked her, I then weighed 190, and I said, could you carry me up the steps now? And she said, oh, no, I don't think I could now. But they were good. I had a good time. I don't know, it's just the same. It was an experience. It was, I don't think people up there realized that there was a recession or how poor things were. Believe me, the families up there lived on stewed beans and oatmeal all in long.
Stewed beans and oatmeal.
Yeah.
Fillers.
And just I know my dad had this poultry farm, and in spite of him being tough, and he was tough, I know that he sneaked out a lot of goodies to people. Thanksgiving time, I remember there were a lot of extra birds dressed that never were charged out.
What order again?
Because it was my job to deliver them, providing I didn't talk about it.
So you kept your...
Oh, and never to this day ever told where they went.
But were they all in the neighborhood?
Yeah, pretty much. Huh.
Did you feel like the townhouse school was like center of a neighborhood? Was it a community?
It was center? Because the where they voted, everything was there. They played basketball there, heated with an old pot-bellied stove, too. That's where the Catholic Church is. That's that same building. Was moved from the townhouse to its present site.
You mean the Arundel Wofford Company?
Yeah,
that was
the town hall at the townhouse.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Why can't the town take it back?
Well, for a reasonable sum.
Why can't they take it back?
That's going to be interesting.
When you're dealing with the church.
Well, so that was up...
That was, yeah.
And
the kids from the townhouse area rarely ever mixed with the townies. We were looked down upon. The townhouse gang was called the Dirty Dozen.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, we were fairly formidable, if that's the word, compared to some of the more sophisticated kids. We had ways of taking care of people. We'd feud with the ones at Turbis Creek, we'd feud with the ones downtown, and usually win.
About what?
Anything.
Just think of something.
Well, Halloween, for instance, they didn't want us to come below the mill bridge.
So it was territory.
We'd do anything, including swim the river.
All right. So you guys were tough, huh?
We'd do things. A little sneaky, but things got done.
Yeah? All right.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they had where the Cape Harbor's Motel is. Matter of fact, Tommy, my boy, he's what, 40 old? 42 or 3, he started, I can't get these words, subprimary? It's not the first grade, there's something else. But I know Tommy went to school at Cape Harper, that's where he started.
Oh,
and then they move around. Well, the townhouse, I think it's because they were so undesirable, maybe, they had 8 grades, and they kept them all bunched up. So you didn't really mix with the others.
In you school. Used to tell your students,
village, yeah, kids who came up for it. They, well, right where the town office is now was a good-sized school. The upper floor was a high school. No, just one half of that upper part of that building was high school. So we're not that. Incidentally, my high school principal is still alive in Kennebunk near the landing store, John Abbott.
No, too.
I'd like to go see him sometime. I had a few run-ins with him, too. He had to discipline me on occasion. He was very rough on me, too. I can't understand it.
What did you do to get him edged?
Well, like putting a dead skunk through the window in school.
Through a closed window?
No, I'd open the window and jam it in through it in the English room, and he had no sense of humor about it.
Well, you opened the window.
Yes, I didn't break the glass or anything like that.
You weren't destructive.
No,
not at all.
Oh, yeah. I that didn't go over well at home either.
No, I think you...
That caused me some restriction. I spent a lot of time on the farm.
That is the story of the other story.
What, blowing it up?
Which one? Is this in school? Or? We went to school at that time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was a grammar school story. We had a neighbor across the street who was unfriendly to kids and stuff. Well, kids have a way of remembering things. Mm-hmm. 4th of July, I remember, he had an outhouse, and we watched very carefully. We screened the thing to know what his habits were. Always a clean outdoor in the back of an outhouse. We decided if we bundled up, several sticks, 5-inch saloons, with a center fuse, that we could create a reasonable good explosion. Mm-hmm. We knew when this gentleman came out. So we opened the back door and very carefully inserted this package in there. And after we heard the door latch click and he was comfortably seated, we ignited the fuse. It was a very serious explosion because there was an open. It was a three-holer. They had more money than we did. And it created quite a mess on the ceiling and walls and everything. And he went out through the door and the door came off the hinges on the way out.
Can you picture that?
And this was the townhouse gang?
Yes.
You and the drums and who else?
I don't know who was in on that. I think honestly, it was Carl Boston and myself. I
just
think
the two of
you? That was a two-man job.
Uh-huh.
I devised the plan and helped execute it. And I think it was just one other henchman. I think it was Carl Boston. I shouldn't mention names.
No,
He could be innocent, but I wasn't. But it was a magnanimous explosion. I was very proud of it. Not at all, but he was upset and he needed a bath.
And he liked children all the more afterwards, right?
What were the consequences of this?
The consequences, absolutely. He did come over. He screened the neighborhood trying to find out who did this thing. Well, my father didn't know, certainly, who did it. And I was asked, and rather than open my mouth, I wouldn't say anything. But this guy, just as an example why he needed this treatment was, he would sick his own dog on the kids riding a bicycle by his place. So, and try to bite him. So, I mean, we felt
justice
that he needed treatment.
He got it. And did that cure him?
I can't recall what it did.
You might do some of these things.
You do some with mine, sir.
I could have a half of them. I could have just freshen that one up a little bit under.
But I always like that story.
That has to be one of a crowning
achievement. It was one of my better.
Boyhood,
it was
yes.
One of my better accomplishments.
I'd say that.
I can remember it. It was a heavy explosion. We didn't think it was going to be quite as spectacular as it was. I took the blame for it. Well, I felt good about it. I still do.
Took the blame? I thought you were undiscovered.
Sure. I always liked explosions, and that was a good one.
So Well placed.
He was a grumpy old man anyway.
Serves him right.
Absolutely.
any other crowning achievements?
That was one of the bad, and I said my two spectacular achievements would be the trolley pole and the rocks and the outhouse.
Yeah.
I can remember doing that.
The sofa.
That was done more often than not. Other people did that to an ink and the fish bowl.
Did you always have a fish bowl the whole time you were
there?
There
was always something, yeah. The teachers then always wanted something in each class. I can remember there might be a couple fish bowls, so we'd even bring in, you know, watch tadpoles hatch and then study about how they evolve into frogs and all this stuff. Pretty good, I think, actually.
Yeah.
And they probably still do it, maybe even better now with video and all that stuff. But everything we had to do was field train. There was nothing to do with except basics.
Did you take field trips out?
Oh, yes. A lot, yeah.
Did you come to the shore?
I remember the last year always had a school picnic at the end of the year, and they'd take a hayride or something, go to Goose Rocks Beach, and somebody was Smith donated a cottage or something, and we'd have a picnic and stuff down there, and swimming and whatever.
And the teachers came, and did parents come?
No, just the kids and the teachers. Teachers were always right in the middle of the kids all the time. I'm sure today, if I went up and talked to Lorraine Wiles, I would probably feel like, gee, I got to be careful